discourse today. It is a very auspicious day. Just 2 days back, we celebrated the Vyas Puja of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we meditated on the importance of worshiping those great souls who have surrendered their lives at the lotus feet of the Lord. Today is the appearance day of one of my very dear godbrothers, His Holiness Srila Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He has accepted such tremendous responsibility on behalf of my Guru Maharaj over the years. And he has truly been a most wonderful example of how a devotee could give his life, his soul, his all in all, exclusively for the service of the spiritual master. Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj ki. And by his grace, one of his very dear disciples has joined us today. I'd like to welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath's temple. His name is Romapad Prabhu. He's a very, very dear disciple of Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj and a very exemplary devotee. He lives in London and he is performing a very extraordinary and wonderful service, which we can discuss some other time. But Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj has been building wonderful projects. For instance, in New Delhi, he's building this beautiful, beautiful temple. Single-handedly, his inspiration and his determination, one of the most beautiful projects in the history of our movement. And one family that has helped him in an extraordinary way is the Hinduja family. They have been so supportive in so many ways we cannot even explain. And Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj gave one of his favorite disciples, Romapad Prabhu, to be the executive secretary of the Hindujas. It's a very extraordinary service, to say the least. Can you please stand up, Prabhu? Everyone kindly welcome him to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Very loudly, please. Vritya lakshana jigyasur bhaktam kameshva chodayat bhavan samsara bijeshu hridaya granthishu prabhu. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Nanyatha te kila guro gatheta karunatmanaha yastha ashisha ashaste nasa bhritya savaivanik. Otherwise, O my Lord, O supreme instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot become your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. We are reading today the exalted prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimhadev. Lord Narahari, Bhagwan, had tested Prahlad in ways that no one could possibly calculate. How much Prahlad was tortured, how much Prahlad, his life was constantly at risk. All that he had to do was just tell his father that all he did is have to say nothing to his father. If he would have just remained quiet or spoke some pleasing words that his father would appreciate, he would have been the crown prince of the entire universe. But he was a preacher. He was preaching to his father that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vishnu, and you are a demon, and you are in Maya because you think that you are this body, and you think that by enjoying this body you will be happy. Itpat papatam grihamandakupam vanam gotoyam dharamashayeta. You are in a deep, dark well, and you are just suffering in that well. And you should give up your royal throne and you should go to Vrindavan and you should surrender to Krishna. My dear father, you are simply chewing that which has already been chewed again and again and again. And it will be better if you take to the 9 processes of devotional service. And the best way to follow the 9 processes of devotional service is that first you should cover your body with the dust from the feet of the great Vaishnav devotees of Lord Vishnu. So he was a preacher. He was existing for the welfare of others. And because of this, Hiranyakashipu gave him again and again chances to just be polite and not preach to him. But not only was he preaching to Hiranyakashipu, he was preaching to everyone, even his class friends. And ultimately Hiranyakashipu understood that he must die. And he threw him from mountains and threw him into oceans and threw him into pits of serpents and from the most deadly poisons he was given to eat. He was given so many terrible, terrible experiences, stabbed with swords and tridents, cursed by the most horrible rakshasas. But Prahlad was always protected. Prahlad was, they tried to starve him in every way, but he had faith. His spiritual master told him the science of Krishna consciousness, and understood the best way to serve his spiritual master was to just live by these teachings and teach them to others, that's all. Prahlad was very simple, but he was fearless. And in the end, the Supreme Lord appeared in this world just to protect him. Such an exalted position. And then the Lord offered him any benediction he may desire. And Prahlad Maharaj is here replying to this offer that you have sent me to this material world, he is saying, just to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Because the desire for material enjoyment is the root cause of all of material existence. And in order to attain love for Krishna, one must have no desire for anything but service to Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is our aspiration. When a devotee comes to the temple of the Lord, he is not like an ordinary being that comes to the temples or the churches or the mosques of this world, asking the Lord to do so many favors. The devotee asks for one favor as his super excellent goal in life. Let me have no desire save and except to please you and to serve you in any way you want, my Lord. It is not that you should serve me in any way I like. Prahlad Maharaj exhibited these symptoms, and he set the standard of what a pure devotee is meant to be. What is the natural constitutional position for every living being? Srila Prabhupada, he was very, very fond of these prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrisimhadev. On many occasions, he gave Srimad Bhagavatam class from the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj all over the world. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so fond of these prayers and the wonderful story of the qualities of Prahlad's selfless service, that when Gadadhar Pandit would read these prayers to him, the story of Prahlad, he would ask, "Read it again." And as you know, it is practically the better part of the whole seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In our translations, it comprises almost three books. And Gadadhar Pandit would repeat the whole story of Prahlad with all his beautiful prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, read it again and again. Sometimes 10, 12 times, sometimes for days, he would never tire hearing of the selfless, unmotivated devotion of Bhakta Prahlad. And of course, we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not different than Lord Nrisimhadev himself. In fact, he is the source of Lord Nrisimhadev. He is the original form of Godhead. And how much the Lord loves to hear the glories and the qualities of his own devotees who worship him with unmotivated love. One time, Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas, he came to the village of Kumarahatta. That was where Srivas Thakur and his brothers were living. Srivas, there were five brothers altogether, and he was the eldest. And in Navadweep, they moved to Navadweep, especially to be close to the Ganga and to be in the association of other such great devotees as Advaitacharya. And each night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform kirtan from sunset through sunrise the next morning. Such wonderful, wonderful kirtans. And Srivas would just make his home, his family, his whole life simply a facility for the Lord to enjoy. That was his greatness. He had no concern for anything except giving Lord Chaitanya enjoyment. One night, when the kirtan was going on, Srivas's young child, his own son, he died of a high fever. And the devotees, who were his wife and his other relatives, they began to weep in a side room of the house. And Srivas heard that there was something that was wrong. So he went in the back. And there he saw his own son lying dead. Many of you know what is the nature of the attachment between a father and a son. I had some idea of the attachment when I decided to become a sadhu. Then I understood what is the attachment between a father and a son. I was just a little boy, 19 years old, and I just told my parents, I'm going to find God. And they said, that's all right, just make sure you're back in time for school. Anyways, the next thing they knew was about 6 months later, they received a letter from Iran saying, I'm on my way to India in search of, to continue my search for God. And they knew I had no money. And in America, in those days, India was a very strange place in people's minds. I had never met an Indian before I arrived in India. And the only thing you ever hear is people are starving on the streets, and people have smallpox and tuberculosis, and people have baskets with poison snakes in them. That's all. No one in America ever heard anything except that about India. Poverty and snakes. And sometimes you hear about yogis who lay on nails and sleep in fire. Not a good reputation. Now over the years, some people hear about the politicians and everything like this. So they were very disturbed. And I went to the Himalayas. And I was there for many months. And they didn't know what was happening. And I was in another state of mind altogether. After months and months, finally they received an aerogram from me that said, I am living in a cave in the Himalayas with snakes and scorpions and so many leopards and elephants around. And now I am looking at a butterfly and he is chanting Om. Your son, and then I signed my name. I said love, and then I signed my name. He thought I was crazy. He was completely frustrated. He went to the consulate general, to the ambassador of India, and he was weeping, and he was crying, and he was trembling. He said, you have to find my son. He's somewhere in India. The ambassador said, There's 600 million people in India. This was in 1970. He says, we'll try to find him, but it's not so easy. Especially, you say he's in the Himalayas, in the jungles. He said the wrong thing. He said, usually people never come out of that alive. So he was very upset. And of course, when you're young and you're looking for the absolute truth, you're not so aware or sensitive toward all these other considerations of life. But I knew, but I understood. When the call of God comes in one's heart, nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Some of our brahmacharis, their parents say, why he is joining this ashram? I tell them the truth. We never ask anyone to join this ashram. But when the call of God comes in a person's heart to give their life, you, me, no one can stop them. It is the power of God. So after a year or so, I settled in Vrindavan, and I wrote a letter back. And I said, I have an address. If you want to write back to me. It was the first time they could write back to me in about a year and a half or so. And those letters that I received, I wish I kept them. They were very classic. They were covered with tears and the writing was all scribbled. And my younger brother was saying he's about to die. He's just looking into the sky. His hair is growing gray. He cannot do his business anymore. He's just worrying about you and worrying about you. Either come home or you will never see him again. So then I got some understanding of what is the attachment between a father and a son. Very deep. Anyways, now he's chanting Hare Krishna. And he gives people tapes about Krishna. And he is very proud that his son is a Hare Krishna devotee. His other two sons are doing business, and he says, I'm most proud of you. That is Prabhupada's mercy. So the attachment between a father and a son is a very, very deep relationship. And Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu. And there was a very, very intense attachment there. But somehow or other, Prahlad was a devotee of the Lord. And when Srivas Thakur's son died, the rest of the family was in tremendous anguish. And Srivas, whose heart was so soft and loving, he said to his family members, don't cry so loud, because it will disturb Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy in his dancing. He said, in fact, he said, our son is so fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is dancing in our house, and to the resounding sound of his chanting and the chanting all of the Vaishnavas, our son has died in this atmosphere. He has achieved the ultimate goal of life, the spiritual world. I only wish I could die in such an auspicious environment as my son. What do we have to lament? It is a glorious pastime of the Lord. But in any case, keep quiet, because the purpose of our existence is that Lord Chaitanya enjoys, and let his ecstasy go on. So Lord Chaitanya continued his kirtan, and toward the end of the night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could sense that something was different. And he asked Srivas, is there some problem? And Srivas replied, there can be no problem in your presence, my lord. When you are dancing and chanting in my home, everything is auspicious. And then someone said to Lord Chaitanya that Srivas's son died about 7 hours ago during the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the child and he looked at Srivas and he said, why didn't you tell me? He said, you are so much attached. You are so much attached to pleasing me. You are so much attached in your loving service to me that you have not even expressed the difficulty of losing your son just for my happiness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. He began to cry. What kind of a devotee are you? Who could ever calculate the love of such a devotee? And Lord Chaitanya began to think that soon he was going to have to take sannyas. And as he wept and he wept, covering his whole body and clothes with tears, he said, how could I ever leave such a devotee like you, Srivas? And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told Srivas that because of your unalloyed love, Nityananda Prabhu and myself will be your eternal sons. And then he went to the son and he said, rise, O child, and tell us why you have left the house of Srivas. And the child began to speak. He said, my lord, according to destiny, which is all moving by your will, It was time for me to give up this temporary body I am living in and go to my next destination. By your causeless mercy, I had the good fortune of living for some time in the house of Srivas, where I got to witness your wonderful kirtans and hear the holy name of Krishna constantly being chanted. But now I am called to another place to serve you by your will. I only ask one benediction. Wherever I may be, let me always remember me, you. Let me always chant your name and be the servant of your servants. And then with the blessings of the Lord, the child lay down and again his soul left. And all the devotees and even the relatives were jubilant. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally danced in the procession to the Ganges, where the last rites were performed. And then all the devotees took their bath in the Ganges in great happiness, very loudly chanting the holy names. And when that very envious person, Gopal Chapala, tried to disgrace Srivas, Lord Chaitanya caused him to get leprosy. And when that person came to Lord Chaitanya in a miserable, suffering condition, begging for mercy, Lord Chaitanya said, "Because you have offended my dear devotee, you will suffer like this for 1,000,000 births." But then when he went to Srivas and begged forgiveness, the Lord became so pleased that he not only cured of him his leprosy, but he gave him devotion to his lotus feet. Such a devotee like Srivas, how dear he is to the Lord. So after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Srivas, in separation from the Lord, could not bear to live in Navadvip. He could not stay in his house, because he was accustomed that every night, all night, Mahaprabhu would be dancing and singing. How could he live? The nights were too difficult to bear, seeing the same room, but without the beautiful golden form of Gauranga. So they moved back to their native place, Kumarahatta. And Lord Chaitanya came to that place, Kumarahatta, to visit Srivas. And many other wonderful devotees also came to see the Lord at that time. But during that wonderful, wonderful pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Srivas privately. He said, "Srivas, you never leave your house. You never go anywhere. Why don't you do something to maintain? How do you maintain your family?" And Srivas replied, "My Lord, I am very happy in my home chanting your holy names and remembering you. I have no desire to go anywhere." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But you have a big, big family. How will you eat? How will you provide food? How will you provide clothing? How will you maintain them?" And Srivas said, "My Lord, by the will of destiny, everything will come." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "If you're not willing to go out and do anything for the maintenance, then you should take sannyas." And Srivas replied, "I have no power to take sannyas." "Well, if you don't take sannyas, then at least you should go door to door and beg to bring something home." And then Lord Chaitanya, in great amazement, he inquired, "How do you maintain your family if you never leave your home? Tell me, what will happen if no food comes to your door?" And Srivas replied, "One, two, three. That's all. That is my explanation. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him. You clapped your hands and said, 1, 2, 3. So what does that mean? And Srivas replied by clapping his hands, 1, 2, 3. Everyone, 1, 2, 3. That is my explanation. And Lord Chaitanya asked, what does 1, 2, 3 mean? And why you're clapping your hands? And Srivas said with great conviction, he said, I say with a solemn vow that if 3 times myself and my family do not have food to eat, if 3 times we have to fast, then I will take a rope and tie it around my neck and tie the other side to a watered pot and I will drown myself in the river Ganges. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he began to roar in ecstatic love, praising Srivas. That Srivas, such faith, such devotion you have. The Lord said, if the goddess Lakshmi ever someday comes to the point where she is poverty stricken and she has to beg door to door for alms, your house will always be filled with all kinds of nice foods. Because you have such faith in my mercy and such faith in your bhajan, he said, you will always be provided for. And then he spoke from Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nitya bhayuktanam yogakshemam bahamyam. For one who surrenders to me sincerely, Krishna says, I will provide what he has, I will preserve what he has, and I will provide what he doesn't have. This is faith. If you have faith, the Lord will provide everything for you. And what is that faith? Faith that I simply please Krishna. If I simply water the root of the tree, then everything will be fulfilled. Of course, we understand that Srivas was such an exalted level, who was chanting the holy name so purely and inducing everyone to chant the holy name. He was doing such a high service. Why should the Lord not provide everything for him? And then Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas's brother, Ramai Pandit. And he said, you are more dear to me than my life because you are the servant of Srivas. Always serve your elder brother. Always be the servant of my servant. And you will be most dear to me. So we must perform our duties. We find in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna told Arjuna to fight the war, Arjuna did not say, 1, 2, 3. That is my explanation. He tried in so many ways. He said, I will not fight this war. Krishna said, you must, it is your duty. So it is not that you should all just be sitting home clapping your hands and expecting Lakshmi to come with alms for you. But that is the example of one who has implicit faith. And it was the will of the Lord that Srivats live in such a way. His particular function as a grihasta with a big, big family, it was a joint family, was to simply exemplify and facilitate for the whole world, for all history to see, his complete attachment to the congregational chanting of the holy names of God. But Arjuna performed his duty in the same spirit after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. He understood, this is the will of the Lord. I must fight. I cannot be a lazy man. Srivas was not a lazy man either. But he fought with complete faith that in victory or defeat, in success or failure, or life or death, if I am simply doing the will of Krishna, that is the perfection of my existence. That is my happiness. Everyone is seeking happiness. We must know where real happiness is. There is no real happiness in this material world. By satisfying your mind, by satisfying your senses, by accumulating so many more and more and more acquisitions, there's no happiness in that. There is some temporary stimulation of the mind and senses, but that is not happiness. Real happiness is the eternal rejoicing of the soul that comes when we please Krishna. Today we heard in Radharas Bihari Mandir, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was giving class. He explained at one time the wealthiest man in the world was J. Paul Getty. He had so much money, so much fortune, so much power, so much influence. Anything he wanted worldly, he could just get it. Money talks, nobody walks, something like that. Anyways, big people, the news media are always trying to get some new angle on their view of life. So they asked him, if there's one word that could explain your state of mind, your consciousness, being the richest man in the world, you have everything practically. More than anyone else in the world you have. If there was one word to explain your state of mind, tell me. And he said, yes, one word. More. I have to have more. So what is the use? Hiranyakashipu, he conquered the universe, but he wanted more. Fuel and fire, the hotter and hungrier it becomes. It is never satisfied. So similarly, this is the grand illusion. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers explained that trying to satisfy our material ambitions is like trying to satisfy an itching rash by scratching it. If any of you have ever had an itching rash, say Hari Bol. Very loudly, please. Devotees are amazing, aren't they? So you know, you have experience, when you have an itching rash, your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, whoever may be your doctor, the first instruction they'll tell you is, Dwarkadish, what is? Huh? Do not scratch it. Because when you scratch it, you make it itch more. There's some relief. As you're itching it, it feels very good. Sometimes you see dogs scratching their itches, going, and it feels very good while you're doing it. But as soon as you stop, it's all red and it itches more, terribly more. And the more you scratch, the more you itch. And the more you scratch, the more it spreads all over your body. This year, every year we go to the Rainbow Gathering in America, where it's way deep in the forests in America. And it's very, very good preaching. Tens and thousands of young people come looking for spiritual truth. But almost every year the forest is covered with poison ivy, which makes very terrible rashes that itch so much you almost go crazy. And if you scratch it, whatever you touch after you scratch it gets poison ivy. So it usually, if you have it in one part of your body, it spreads to your whole body because you're scratching it. If you just tolerate it, it'll go away. Huh? You have had? Anyways, people are going around and it's actually a wonderful platform for preaching. Because all these young people are just going and it's spreading all over. And devotees, they're just like trying to keep their hand away somehow or other. It's difficult, but if you just keep your hand away for a couple days, it's gone. Otherwise, it'll just continue forever until you start taking all kinds of drugs and everything else to get rid of it. So that is the nature of material existence. Material desires are like rashes that itch. And the more you try to satisfy it through material means, the more it itches, the more agitated and anxiety you are filled with. That is why this world is called Kunta, the place of anxiety, because everyone is simply scratching their itches. Prahlad Maharaj told that the solution, we are all looking for real happiness. We have to, first of all, stop scratching this itch. We have to stop trying to find happiness in the material world. And we have to dovetail that propensity by seeking happiness in reality. The reality is that we are not this body. We are the eternal soul, and we are part of Krishna. And we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And by satisfying Krishna, the soul rejoices its unlimited happiness. And how to satisfy Krishna? By following in the footsteps of such great souls as Prahlad Maharaj. By always remaining faithful to the will of the Lord. We may have so many duties to perform in this world. We may have families, we may have jobs, but we should not perform our activities out of greed. We should not perform our activities because we want more and more facilities for enjoyment and prestige. But rather, we should perform our activities to create a nice, secure atmosphere for our families to practice Krishna consciousness, where their real happiness and their real security will be achieved. And we should work hard in whatever ashram we may be in to help others to get the opportunity to receive this wonderful message of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, we should be fearless. In this way, we should know that Krishna will provide everything if we act honestly and earnestly for his satisfaction. So devotees, they do not ask for material benedictions because, as Dhruva Maharaj said, they are like broken pieces of glass. Material benedictions are like broken glass, and the more you play with it, the more you get cut and the more you bleed. We should ask for the rare diamond of devotion to God. That is the great treasure. Artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. People follow religion for economic development, for religiosity, for sense gratification and liberation. But the purushartha shiromani is Krishna prema. The crest jewel of all goals of life is to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he dedicated his life in the same mood as Prahlad, willing to take any risk, endure any difficulty, just to give Krishna consciousness to the most fallen. And therefore we understand he is most dear to Krishna. How much Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. Enjoy the wonderful, wonderful service of Srila Prabhupada. The service of complete faith that if I simply try to give Krishna to others, I have nothing else to achieve in life. He was not afraid of death. When he was very old, so many times he was asked, rest, go back to Vrindavan. He said, no, I am a soldier for Krishna, fighting against Maya, trying to reclaim the unfortunate. Let me die in the battlefield. And when his body absolutely could not function or do anything else, at that time he said, take me back to Vrindavan. And even in that condition, where he practically could not even move a limb of his body, his mouth was still speaking, preaching, translating Srimad Bhagavatam and giving directions to his disciples. Until his very last breath, he was giving Krishna to others. And by his divine grace, we have all had the great fortune to come together to this great mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we also have the rarest, the most wonderful opportunity in all of existence to help Srila Prabhupada to continue. Devotional service to Lord Krishna. By being exemplary Vaishnavas, it is so important. Srila Prabhupada wanted his devotees to live in such a way that the world would honor and respect Krishna. Srila Prabhupada pleaded and begged with all of us, anyone who takes his mercy, never leave this movement. Live by these teachings. And help give these teachings to the suffering people of this world. So we are so fortunate. By his divine grace, this beautiful temple is here in Chaupati. And it is a holy place. I was just reading that at one time, it was in 1972, Srila Prabhupada used to come almost every day and take his morning walks on Chaupati Beach. He was staying nearby at Kartikeya Mahadevya's house, which is, it used to be called Mufatlal Park. Now it's called Seaface Park. Some of our devotees, like Srinathji, they live there now. Prabhupada was living there for some time. And his devotees would drive him to Chaupati Beach for his morning walks. There's a story. They took their walk on Chaupati Beach, Srila Prabhupada, Shyam Sundar, and Shruti Kirti, his servant and secretary. And it was Kartikeya Mahadevya's car. It was a black ambassador. In those days, black ambassadors were quite common. In fact, practically every car was a black ambassador. So they got in the car, and Shyam Sundar was trying to put the key in the car, and somehow the key wouldn't turn, the ignition. And he was just twisting and pushing and twisting and pushing and punching and twisting and pushing and cursing and punching and twisting and pushing. The key didn't turn. He was so frustrated, and Srila Prabhupada and Shruti Kirti were sitting in the back. Prabhupada was patiently chanting japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Shamsundar Prabhu was very much embarrassed by this. Somehow or other, he couldn't get the key to turn the ignition. And he was just trying and trying, and all of his might, he was just trying to turn that key. And he was so flustered, anxiety. He said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm very sorry, somehow these Indian cars, they don't work very good and the keys aren't working, and I'll get a taxi for you, Srila Prabhupada. So he ran out to get a taxi. This happened right across the street from our temple at Chopati Beach. And Prabhupada and Shruti Kirti were sitting there, and then these two men just came right up to the car, and they just went inside the car and sat down in the front seats, two front seats. And Shruti Kirti was thinking, what nonsense are these people? They're just coming in Prabhupada's car, just sitting down. Who are they? He didn't know if they were thieves or dacoits or rude people or what. And Srila Prabhupada and them, they started speaking in Hindi together. And then one of the men took out a key, put it in the car, turned it, and the engine started. And then he drove Prabhupada to Kartikeya Mahadevya's house. Haribo. It ended. The truth to the story was, it was their car. Shamsundar brought Prabhupada to somebody else's car because they all looked the same. And meanwhile, Prabhupada was preaching to them, and they were saying, and when Shruti Kirti understood that it was actually their car, he started apologizing. We're very sorry, we're sitting in your car. He said, no, no. They said, this is our good fortune. We get to do some service for Swamiji. And after this incident, Srila Prabhupada said, this is the difference between India and America. If we were sitting in someone else's car in America, God knows what would happen to us. But in India, you're sitting in someone else's car, they say, oh, thank you for the good fortune, Swamiji. Of course, one time, mosquitoes were eating all the devotees. I think it was somewhere in the West. Mosquitoes were bothering the devotees like anything. And Prabhupada was just sitting there, and not a single mosquito was touching him. And one of the devotees said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, because you are such a pure devotee, the mosquitoes are not bothering you. But because we are neophytes, they are biting us so much. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is correct. He said, but in Calcutta, they do not discriminate. So really, we are fortunate. Srila Prabhupada, his lotus feet very much traverse this part of Bombay. His merciful glance purified this area. And in fact, he said that we should have a temple here. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashyate. Krishna provides what his devotee, whatever his devotee wants to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. In due course of time, Krishna provides. We see over the years how Srila Prabhupada gave so much of his life to to establish this movement. And then by the inconceivable arrangement of Krishna, he was brought back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. But he explained that I will always be living in my teachings and I will always be living in those devotees' hearts who are trying to follow my teachings. And he said, this ISKCON movement is my life, it is my body. And how Krishna is still fulfilling his desires. Srila Prabhupada, in Delhi, it was just a little tiny place. He installed the Didi's Partasarati. He said, we should have a big, big, beautiful temple and cultural center here. And all the devotees are so spread out all over the world. But His Holiness Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he understood this is Prabhupada's desire. He had no ways, he had no means. But somehow or other, by Prabhupada's desire, there will be a grand opening for this temple. When will it be? In March? Huh? Ram Navami of the coming year. Beautiful, beautiful, spectacular. In one of the most prestigious parts of all of Delhi. And one time Srila Prabhupada went in the Buddha Jayanti Gardens in Delhi and he said, someday there should be Krishna Jayanti Gardens. And now just the government has allotted something they never do. They allotted a big, big plot of land right next to our temple, especially for the purpose of being the Krishna Jayanti Gardens. By Srila Prabhupada's desire, Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj is being so much empowered to do this wonderful service. Prabhupada's desires are being fulfilled. Prabhupada wanted this temple. He wanted a temple in Chopati, Bombay. He said it once. And there wasn't even a plan to do it. It was a forgotten instruction. Nobody even remembered he said it. But Krishna remembered. Krishna remembered. Prabhupada wanted to serve him in this place. And somehow or other, how did this temple come about? We don't even know. Srinathji and his wife Maithili were giving some gifts to the orphans of Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage, and one thing led to another, that Radha Gopinath is living in the building and now wonderful devotees. The orphans are all devotees. And when Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Prabhupada's secretary, was sitting here, he remembered those words. Because of Srila Prabhupada's faith, Krishna provided everything. But he never wanted anything for himself. He wanted everything simply for the welfare and benefit of everyone. And the real welfare or benefit is Krishna consciousness. And the purpose of all these temples, the purpose of all these facilities, is to give people the opportunity to be purified. In the age of Kali Yuga, there is a simple and wonderful way to become purified. The basis of everything within any true religion today is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord will purify our hearts and bring about the awakening of the eternal joy that every soul is longing for. Mr. Getty had billions and billions of dollars, and he was saying more, more, more. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you hope to get from chanting Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada's reply was that Hare Krishna in the pure state of consciousness is so satisfying. The only thing we want to gain from chanting Hare Krishna is to eternally raise our arms and chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki. We were told the other night that when Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu Beach, some young children, just in a very playful way, they said, Hare Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at his devotees and he said, this is the fulfillment of our mission, that these people are chanting Hare Krishna. Srivas Thakur had complete faith. If I just chant Hare Krishna and please the Lord, there's nothing else that has to be done. And Srila Prabhupada worked and worked and worked and worked, but it was all with this faith that if people simply chant Hare Krishna sincerely, all their spiritual desires will be fulfilled. And the greatest way to convince people to chant Hare Krishna is through having beautiful congregational chanting. When devotees are sincere and blissful in chanting and developing all good qualities through this process, it will genuinely attract people to join the beautiful Sankirtan movement of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. All to please rise. Express our gratitude for Srila Prabhupada by doing what he prayed and longed for all of us to do, to sincerely call out the holy names of Radha and Krishna.